few years ago, I spent Christmas in a swamp. This was an accident. I had meant to celebrate La Navidad in a wild and isolated mountain valley at the far reaches of South America, during the heights of summer, surrounded by turquoise waterfalls. Instead, I stumbled into the greatest beaver infestation in the history of the recorded world. Tierra del Fuego is an archipelago separated from the southernmost tip of the South American mainland by the Straits of Magellan. In the late 19th century, a Chilean expedition spread rumors of gold, instigating the Euro-American settlement of the archipelago's largest island, Isla Grande, and the consequent genocide of its indigenous Selk'nam population. The gold lasted about 10 years and made a few people rich. The discovery of the Americas in a cartoon nutshell. By 1946, the Argentine government thought to make use of the vast wilds of Tierra del Fuego and introduced 50 North American beavers, apparently to pursue the fur trade. Subsequent history suggests the Argentines promptly lost track of the beavers. Without natural predators, they have flourished. By a recent count, some 200,000 beavers inhabit the archipelago. They have decimated forests and transformed meadows into wetlands. The Fuegian backcountry is windy and rugged, ridged by the Patagonian Andes. I was 23 and a greenhorn, following my seasoned traveling companion who had led numerous wilderness trips, including one to the Canadian Arctic. A taxi took us from Ushuaia, the southernmost city in the world, to a spot by the side of the road some 30 miles out of town, and we left the beaten track. We left, in fact, any track at all. On the summer solstice, we crossed two passes, hiking into vicious winds. One gust tore my companion's rain cover from her backpack, and I vividly remember watching it ripple and soar from the pass toward an enormous and distant lake. We pitched our tent in the lee of a boulder, above a frigid tarn, and managed to make dinner, but passed out before doing the dishes. Two nights and two challenging days later, we felt our troubles were over. The difficult section of the trip was behind us. We had planned it this way, to wake up on Christmas Eve and begin the long, gradual descent through what we believed would be an idyllic mountain valley. Instead, we entered miles of beaver swamp. To its credit, the swamp was beautiful. Steep mountains bounded the valley on either side, and between lay iridescent fields of red peat. With each step, my foot sank deep into the peat, and water poured into my boot. For hours we walked, step after spongy step, finally looking for a dry place to pitch a tent. We knew we had come within fair distance of the road when a stout bull stood in our path, well endowed with long and pointed horns. We edged around this bull, and the next few. But the sun was falling, and we were tired. The only dry land hugged a stream, and had been heavily grazed by cattle, who had covered the ground with their feces. We found a somewhat level patch, kicked away the cow pies, and settled in for Christmas Eve in the swamp. To compensate for a less than festive situation, I offered to cook dinner and then perform a one-man rendition of It's a Wonderful Life, which my family was watching a world away in the snows of Minnesota, a state with its own rich history of beaver fur trade. I fried biscuits in a generous quantity of olive oil, and they turned out almost too rich to eat. But eat them we did, and then Jacqueline settled back with a flask of whiskey, which we'd saved for the occasion, while I played George Bailey and the Angel Clarence and Mr. Potter. Before I finished, Jacqueline had fallen asleep, and soon I did too. I woke up well before dawn to the sound of Jacqueline retching outside the tent. The combination of my oily biscuits, the whiskey, and the heavy smell of cow pies had made her sick. Merry Christmas, I thought. And as I lay in that late-night wakefulness, I had to wonder, what was the message of the beavers? Was it that an anachronistic attempt to repeat history can lead to unprecedented disaster? Was it a message about the fragile balance of the natural world? Or that the half-hatched schemes of bumbling Euro-Americans often have unintended consequences? That one person's gold is another person's extinction? That 50 beavers left for dead can decimate an island? That this young Euro-American can climb a mountain, expecting to find Eden on the other side, only to end up in the swamp? We woke up Christmas morning, packed up camp, and walked out of the swamp. We had made no plans for getting back to Ushuaia, and it hadn't occurred to us until now that this country road might be awfully quiet today. We sat in the shoulder, tired but glad for the adventure. Young Americans, privileged enough to be footloose, with nowhere to be and no time we needed to be there. 30 minutes later, a car came driving. Jacqueline stuck out her thumb. Here we went. A Christmas gift.